Hi there, I hope you are staying safe. I cannot believe that till this point, October 2020, we are still using the phrase stay safe in Nigeria. We started using stay safe sometime in January, February. Yes, when, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic erupted. Now we're still saying stay safe to avoid bullets. And of course, because of all the vandalization and all the thuggery, hooliganism going on in Nigeria currently, a lot has been happening in Nigeria. Over the past couple of weeks, a lot has happened, and I feel like the only way that I can lend my voice to all of the injustice that has been happening is via, of course, my podcast. That's like the only way, the only method I know. I'm sorry. Oh my God, I forgot to welcome you to another episode of the Word of Winnie podcast. My name is Winifred Njoagwani. I feel like I have been so much, I don't know, a lot has been happening, like I said. I haven't been in the best state of mind. I can imagine how other Nigerians have been feeling for weeks now, especially because of the events that unfolded a few days ago. Okay, I feel like I need to take a breather now. I just want to talk about the end SARS protest, of course. What SARS is, how SARS, why people are protesting against SARS, why Nigerians are protesting to put an end to SARS, to put an end to police brutality, to put an end to injustice. We want accountability. We want a lot of things. I'm just going to... Okay, this is hard. I'm just going to let everyone know via this podcast. So yes, for my listeners outside the country, SARS is not... It's not the virus, yes, it's not the virus you think. SARS in Nigeria actually means Special Anti-Robbery Squad. So SARS, SARS, is an acronym for Special Anti-Robbery Squad. It's a unit of the Nigerian police, which was formed in 1992 just to combat armed robbery and other serious crimes. But SARS has been involved in many cases of harassment, unlawful arrest, detention, sexual harassment and extrajudicial killings, and of course without any form of justice. That's why we're protesting, because there hasn't been any form of justice whatsoever. Now there has been a lot of clamoring by Nigerians to put an end to SARS and police brutality, because a lot of lives have been lost to what they call trigger happy policemen over the years. But the actual hashtag end SARS protest was triggered by a viral video showing SARS officers killing a young man in Delta State. The fact that authorities denied this video and then the man who filmed the video was arrested provoked even more anger. So of course it was this anger and then this frustration that led to the enough is enough end SARS protest. Now the peaceful protests, of course the protests were peaceful from the very beginning, and the protests are still very peaceful. The protests kept growing in size, spreading to nearly all parts of the country and of course outside the shores of the country, because we have Nigerian brothers and sisters outside the country, and then they could feel our pain, they could relate to everything we were protesting for, and then they joined in the protests. On October 11, 2020, the government dissolved SARS. And another unit was formed called SWAT. SWAT, Special Weapon Tactical Team. Now you may ask, okay, since SARS was dissolved and another team was formed, why did the protests go on? It may interest you to know that SARS was, I'm going to use the term they used, overhauled by the acting, the then acting president, Professor Yemi Osinbajo, on August 14, 2018, after the end SARS protest trended on Twitter back then, and it was renamed Federal Special Anti-Robbery Squad, FSAS, on 21st of January 2019, SARS was decentralized, yes, by the Inspector General of Police, Mohammed Adamu, meaning that an order had been given for all state commissioners of police to be held accountable for the actions of SARS. Let me explain what decentralization means. Decentralization means, okay, everything doesn't have to operate on the federal level. State commissioners of police, state governors, state rulers, basically, the state government should be held accountable for the actions of a particular team, in this case SARS. So that's what decentralization means. So it doesn't mean, okay, it doesn't mean that everything has to operate on the federal level. It doesn't mean that all the punishments, penalties, everything should come from the federal level. The state governors, state leaders can execute a punishment or can carry out an execution of a penalty to any SARS official, any SARS operative that goes against the law. That's what decentralization in this term means. So let's dig deep into this flashback. In August 2018, the acting president Yemi Osinbajo announced that SARS had been overhauled. That's the exact terminology they used. And he directed the Inspector General of Police to ensure that any units that would emerge from the process should be intelligence driven, should stick to only stopping of armed robbery, kidnapping, and nothing more. After SARS was decentralized, the IGP ordered all SARS operatives to wear uniforms with identification tags and should no longer stop and search. Now remember, in 2017, the former Inspector General of Police, Ibrahim Idris, put a ban on all unnecessary stop and search, and that every officer on duty must put on their uniform and name tags. So all of this had happened from 2018 till now, but nothing had been implemented. The government had said, but they have not implemented. The End SARS protests went on October 2020. It went on in October because apparently we have heard all this before. We've heard all of this before. They've used different terminologies. They said overhauled, they said disbanded, they said decentralized. Now they said dissolved on October 11, 2020. Nothing had been implemented. So now that you know why the protests continued after the announcement on October 11, 2020, you'd want to know, what do these Nigerian youths really want? Nigerian youths are calling for an end to police brutality, an end to police harassment, especially SARS harassment, an end to maimings, killings. It doesn't matter what name they give it. If they change it from SARS to SWAT to shamelessness, we don't want to know what name they give it. We don't want to know what term they classify it. We want an end, not overhaul, not disband, not dissolve, not decentralized. We want an end. Now, while the protests continued, or during the course of the protests, the Nigerian youths put forward some demands, and it was titled 545 demands. The first one is the immediate release of all protesters. The second is justice for all deceased victims of police brutality and appropriate compensation for their families. Of course, you can never compensate life, but we just want to see that the government is doing something, you know, to kind of like help, let me use the word help, those who are deceased, all deceased victims. And then the third one is setting up an independent body to oversee the investigation and prosecution of all reports of police misconduct within 10 days. The fourth is psychological evaluation and retraining before they can be redeployed. And the last one is increased police salary. Of course, you do not empower someone who is hungry. You do not give someone who is hungry a gun or a weapon, because they're going to use it to get what they want by however means they deem fit. The Nigerian youths want a total reform of the police force. Of course, first is stop SARS, end it, not disband, not dissolve, not all the words they have been using. end it totally. And then we want a reform of the police force. We don't want stop and search. One, no more stop and search. We don't want name tag. We want them rather to have their name tags. We want an identification tag on all of their uniforms. No confiscation of phones, no searching of phones, no arrests without informing the offender's next of kin or offenders. Someone must be informed. When you arrest someone without allowing the person make a phone call, that arrest is a clear case of kidnap. That's what we're saying. All uniformed men are to make use of their guns only for self-defense. No pointing a gun at an unarmed person, no shooting at a crowd. In worst cases, only shoot at confirmed criminals. Confirmed criminals, people that have been confirmed by the Nigerian court of law as criminals. That's what we are saying. Don't carry a gun and shoot anybody unless that person has been confirmed to be a criminal, not a suspect. Don't shoot at a suspect. Don't shoot at someone who is unarmed. Do not shoot at someone who is running for their lives. Only FRSC, LASMA, VIO, ETC are allowed to check vehicle documents. No ordinary police officer should stop you on the road and ask you for your vehicle documents. No one is above the law. So all officers that have been killed, or all officers that have killed rather, that have maimed, that have harassed, ETC, must be punished according to the law. Not investigated, not suspended, not looked into, punished according to the law. If truly no one is above the law, there must be consequences for all actions. Accountability, that is what we're seeing. You would not believe that since we started this protest till now, nobody has been brought to book. Even after Nigerians have provided all evidences needed, all thanks to social media, our smartphones, the fact that we can make videos, etc. Nobody has been brought to book. That is why these protests continued. Now, since we have been making this our demands, we've been putting our demands forth, we've been ensuring that the government is aware of what we are asking for, a certain group of people have not been, well, they can't just relate to this. They can't relate to it. They just feel like we should stop. We're making noise. We're disturbing. And then I kind of did a little research and I found out that most of these people who cannot relate to our demands, who cannot relate to our guts, who cannot relate to, you know, speaking up for ourselves, who cannot relate to the fact that we are fighting relentlessly, are of the older generation. And there are a few reasons why I feel they cannot relate. First of all, their generation sees submissiveness, you know, being quiet, even to the point of being cheated on and violation of human rights as a virtue. You know, when you are quiet, they feel like you're humble. If you speak up, they feel like you're a bully or you are, no, not bully, they feel like you're rebellious. Yes, that's the word. If you say, oh, I don't like this, I don't like how I'm being treated, I feel like I should be treated better, they feel you're rebellious. If you feel like, oh, I can't do this, I don't think I want to do this, our parents will say we're rebellious. They'll say we're disrespectful. But when we're quiet, even though in our hearts we hate, we detest the way we're being treated, but as long as we are quiet and we are submissive, that's being humble. That's what the older generations, that's how the older generations were trained. And that's the kind of training they tried to pass on to us. But of course, our generation is not like that. Now, the only careers their generation know or knew are doctors, lawyers, engineers, teacher, nurse, etc. They do not understand what it means to be a social media analyst, a forex trader, a digital marketer, a social media influencer, and so many other online jobs that we have created. Now, because of this, they see all cyber involvement as crime, right? Whereas there are legitimate hustles. I saw a post on Facebook. This post was actually from someone close to me, an auntie, not like auntie like related, but of course she's an elderly woman, so I just call her an auntie, my auntie. Right, I saw the post and she was like, you people are saying NSAS, look at the people that are protesting, they're all criminals because of the way they dressed, because of maybe their dreads, their tattoos, That's another problem we have in this country. Profiling. Our elders are used to profiling. There's a certain way everyone should dress. Every, in quotes, responsible human, every responsible citizen should look. Every responsible citizen should be on low court. For a guy, for a lady, plain black hair or brown hair or light brown hair. Anybody on red hair, green hair is a cultist or is a criminal or is, you know, something bad. They profile a lot. That is another problem we have with SARS. They see you, maybe you're with an iPhone or just basically because of your lifestyle, and they profile you already. Now, our older generation see all cyber involvement as crime, right? People make money through their smartphones. But then the older generation, because there were no smartphones then, they couldn't relate to it. So everyone who makes money off their smartphone is termed a criminal. Now, this our generation, right? Our slogan is hustle. Everybody is hustling. Everybody is hustling. So even those who studied medicine, law, and all those professional courses still sell perfume oils. They sell plain t-shirts. They have other online businesses because the country is not working, right? If it was the older generation, for instance, okay, if you studied law, you have to be a lawyer. If you studied medicine, you have to be a doctor or a medical professional. If you studied whatever it is you study, if you studied mass communication, you have to be a journalist, you have to be a TV presenter, you have to be a radio host. It just has to be that way. But in this our generation, we understand that the country will not help you. So even those who studied law, who have a law degree, who studied medicine, who have a BSc in mass communication, a BSc in engineering, for instance, or but then who have a degree in all these professional courses, still do online businesses just to hustle, because we do not depend on our parents in this generation. So I feel like all these things are reasons why the older generation cannot relate to our guts, to our boldness, to our demands, to everything that's happening. The only ones who can relate are maybe those who have been directly affected by SARS, whose kids have been maybe killed because they don't understand harassment. I saw a post on Facebook, a young boy was saying, he was narrating his story of how SARS harassed him. And then, of course, what I like to do is to read comments. And I went down to the comments and I saw a lot of people saying, they can't just arrest you like that. You must have done something. That's the mentality that our parents have. They feel like, oh, you must have done something. You must have been, you're not telling the whole truth. They don't understand what is happening. It is only when it happens to their own kid, and then maybe their own kid was maybe heavily extorted, that they know, that they understand, that they can relate to everything we've been clamoring for. There are a lot of people, in fact 90% of Nigerian youths, have been extorted, have been harassed, have been brutalized by these so-called SARS officials. Of course, they've been renamed SWAT now, but let's call them SARS because they're all the same thing. They're all just a change of name. They're all the same thing. They've been brutalized by these SARS officials, and most of them are willing to share their stories. So I'm going to open the phone lines now, just to allow people to call in. I'm going to open the WhatsApp lines just to allow people to send their messages, you know, to let us know, to tell the world what we mean by SARS brutality. I'll go on a quick break now, and when we come back, it's straight into stories from people who are willing to share their SARS brutality experience. We're going to go on a quick break. When we come back, you know what we're going to do. Thank you for listening thus far. We'll be right back.
Johnny just dropped. Now person shoot them down. Johnny where they innocent. Johnny where they new in town. Then kill them for just. For no just cause. Nobody feet come off a house. They no burn us. Johnny no get privilege, but Johnny want more. they won't go study. Johnny say he won't be doctor. His family died for the same flaws when blood pop. Why we no fee be one bros? Why you wasting all the blood for? She not religion, I be culture, I be politician with a sponsor. What's me the thing with the cost war? Why you no stop to the drop blood? Why do you need it to swing in the machete? What's the point of the gunshot? Pause. Johnny just dropped. Johnny just dropped. For no just cause. Go. Johnny come, Johnny go. Johnny just completing youth service. Passing out tomorrow, so the guys them do party. For the place, but the boys them they meet usually. One or two drinks to relax, nobody say them too shack. Time don't go, night don't show, make a Congo house. Who stand for a road, make a horn, no, nine popo shout. Back there, where your particulars and where? Do you think that you are going like this? New or ye, Ero belly my bed, then my sorrow drew my te. When I don't run, go drop life, for y'all giving me my share. Before they talk one, they say, shut up. Small boy, who that you liver? Talk more, I go cock gun. Small time, enough pull trigger. Don't kill him.
We're gonna have a short.
Okay, we're back. That was Johnny by Fouse, off the album Moral Instruction, which was released in 2019. Yeah, so like I said, we're going to be opening the phone lines now. The phone lines are actually open, so a lot of callers will be calling in to share their SARS and police brutality stories. Just like I said, I have tons of people who have said they are willing to share their stories, so the phone lines are open now and people will be calling. The WhatsApp lines are also open, so it means that I'd also be getting one or two messages, but I'll try to make it as brief as possible so that we can go on to other segments of this podcast. Yeah, so apparently we have a caller now. Hello?
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 Yes, good evening.
Good evening. May I know your name, please?
I think I would rather prefer to be anonymous.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, so please go on and tell us your SARS/police brutality story.
Okay, where do I start? Okay, yes. Sometime last year, March to be precise.
Okay.
I had an encounter with this so-called unit of the police called SAS. I was on my way to the island, Lagos Island, from Yaba. I boarded the bus from Unilag to Yaba, and I was about boarding another one to Lagos Island, and I was stopped. I was with a friend though, so I was stopped, and the next thing, may we know you, can we know you, blah blah blah. We both showed them our ID cards. We're students of the University of Lagos, and we headed to CAC to register a business which we had in mind and everything. And within less than a minute, enter boss. You must enter boss. My friend is this kind of upright person, and he wanted to fight for his right, and he was all shouting, and he was slapped, and we both entered the bus. So while we were in the bus, they started interrogating us and kept on asking stupid questions. The driver of the bus decided to move. So apparently we were
the driver
taking
of the
around.
SARS bus?
Yes, driver of the SARS bus decided to drive. Apparently they were close to how many? I think 9 policemen or 9 so-called SAS officers in the bus. Only one of them was with a police uniform. The remainder that looked like hardened criminals claiming to be police and SAS officials, because they all dressed like thugs and all. So while we're in the bus, started interrogating, where are you coming from, where are you from, blah 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 blah. So they interrogated my friend and they asked him a lot of questions. He kept on answering. When it was my turn, I had to answer to. So the first question I was asked was where I was from, and I said I was from Delta State, Agbo. And one of them said, ah, Nademo, Agbo people, don't trust them, criminals. This is.
Mm-hmm.
So the sad part was that one of them was actually from my place. So he was like, oh, you're an Agbo boy. Then he spoke our dialect. I replied. Then the remaining policemen or the remaining so-called SAS officials retaliated and they were like, guy, no bring language, come here, you decrease. He wants to buy business for us.
Business?
Yes, that was the word they used.
Okay.
He wants to buy business for us. And I was like, okay. So we kept mute and my friend was just there. This is of the law, this is blah, blah, blah. And same thing with me, I was shouting. One of them cocked the gun. I was like, see, you guys are criminals. You're looking so fresh to be students. This, that. Why would you even go and register a business when you're just students? And wow, okay. So we kept on moving around Lagos. We got to Oyinbo. And they told my friend to drop off. Their reason was that, yes, my friend is like an albino. So they were like, oh, this one albino, you know, it was Abi Yahoo Yahoo. So they told him to drop off. They pushed him out of the bus, actually.
Wow.
Plus, he was using an Android phone and I was using an iPhone 6. So in their mind, they said, this one iPhone 6, he's a big boy now. So my friend dropped off at Oyinbo and he kept on driving. So they said they were going to take me to Alagbon. I didn't know where Alagbon was then. But later I heard Alagbon was somewhere at Tikoyi, the police station at Tikoyi. So in my mind, I was like, okay, let's go to the police station now, because I'm clean and I don't even know what you guys are talking about. And they kept on interrogating me. You know, go talk, guy. You know, go talk. You may be criminal. I'm like, who's criminal? You guys check my phone. You didn't see anything. I'm a student. I've shown you my ID card. This is my ID card, by the way. This is my ATM. This is my wallet, which contains all my identification. And collected my phones. I had a small phone and an iPhone 6 then. So, I believe we're going to Alagbon. Because Alagbon is supposed to be on the island, and I just noticed that we were just driving from Oyinbo, Ojuelegba. Like, I was just seeing places on the island. We even went as far as Okota.
Oh, wow.
First stack. So, somewhere around Okota, one of them was like, see that guy there? Be like, yeah, oh boy, we'll stop him. And that was how they stopped the bus and dragged that guy in. He told them he was an artist, a painter. They slapped him, they beat him, the boss. So after 10 minutes, I was cuffed with this guy. Like, they cuffed my hand, my wrist,
oh,
with this
my
guy.
God.
My fingers were actually swelling because the cuff was so tight. I don't wish this thing for anybody. Like, this is like the worst thing that can happen to anybody. Being cuffed because blood will not even flow in your hands. So I was there with this guy. They were beating this guy. So they said, they looked at me and said, you be potty, but you no go talk, sef, you be yahoo boy. This. And we kept on driving around Lagos. Like, it was as if we were going around circles. They stopped another guy, he was his girlfriend, and they dragged the both of them inside.
Oh, okay.
Like, with force, they dragged the boyfriend and the girlfriend inside. So apparently, the girl wasn't his girlfriend, it was his elder sister. They interrogated the both of them inside the bus and threw them out of the bus at some point. Then, while we're still going around, they stopped another guy. Apparently, that guy was, I think, a forex trader or cryptocurrency guy, though. So, he sees this phone and he kept on saying things about cryptocurrency and forex. And they were like, this guy is a young boy, it's this, it's that, it's that. And this guy didn't want to enter the bus. He was shouting, he was bragging. They bonded him up and took him inside the bus. They're beating him in the bus, slapping him. But he was very, very adamant. He was like, you guys will beat me, you'll kill me here. But I'm not the young boy. They kept on beating him. And he was so adamant that you kill me. I'm a crypto trader. I'm this. But they didn't care. They were beating him. back to me though. They were like, I should confess. I'm like, confess what? I'm a student. University of Lagos. I've shown you my ID card and everything. They kept on saying I should confess. So they searched my phone. I don't know how they said it. And they searched my WhatsApp and they saw a text message. And the text message was from a cousin of mine that sent a text sometime in December the previous year. That was 2018. He was asking me a question how he would cash out a check issued to him. And I told him to use his Nigerian passport or something, or any form of identification. So the fact that he saw check, they were like, this guy, they load check. Ah, big boy, get money, die, oh boy. And I'm sick, check, Nigerian check. Somebody was, while I was trying to explain, they slapped me. I kept quiet. And they kept on saying I should confess. If not, they will kill me here. Nothing will happen. I said, I don't know what you guys are talking about. Eventually, like I said, my phone was still with them. I received an alert of 250,000 that day, like right in front of them where my phone was with them. Now the sad part was that this money was from this whole contribution thing locally called Ajo.
Okay.
So I received mine that day, and voila, 250k to enter this boy account, a big boy. And they turned to me and said, where did this money come from? You're a student, how would a student get 250,000? Next thing, the so-called leader, I think his name was Scorpion. They called him Scorpion.
Scorpion.
Yes. Scorpion. Next thing he said was, your money now 1 million naira. And I'm like, which one? What do you mean by that?
Okay.
Theft 1 million naira. And I tried to explain. Like I lost breath. I couldn't even think again. I started crying, like tears were dropping out of my eyes. And I told this guy, okay, 250k, make I give you now 10,000, make I go. The moment I said 10,000, before the 10,000 landed, two slaps on my fist. I just kept quiet throughout. I didn't see shit. Eventually, long story short, y'all, they dropped me off somewhere around Trade Fair, from Yaba or Trade Fair, like out in the green out of Lagos already. Trade Fair, and they told me to, one of them took me to an ATM.
Oh.
And I had to withdraw 150,000.
Oh, no.
Left me off there, and they gave me back my phone, my wristwatch, my ID.
Hello. Okay, it appears we lost that call. I really do hope you call back though. That's a really sad experience. That's a really, really sad experience. I hope you call back. I really hope you call. Yes, please call back if you can. It appears we have another caller. Hello.
Hey, hello. Good evening.
Hello. Good evening.
Yes. My name is Anthony.
Hello, Anthony. Kindly share your SARS police brutality experience, please.
Okay. Yeah. So it happened a while back. I'm looking at like 6 months back on my way back from school, and the officers at Yaba bus stop, because I school in Unilag, at Yaba bus stop, I was about boarding a bus, and just before I got to, you know, the bus park, I felt an arm wrapped around my wrist and dragging me towards, you know, the road. And I'm like, who is this? And as I turned, you know, to check who it was holding me, I saw that it was actually a police officer. And the guy was like, enter, police. And I'm like, enter where? It was then I noticed the van that just, you know, parked by the roadside, and he carried me, like literally lifted me from the ground and threw me into the bus.
Wow.
And that was how it started. Yeah.
Okay.
And so inside the bus, yeah, the officers started removing like the things on my body, my wristband, like, because I wear bracelets a lot So they pulled out the bracelet from my wrist. I had my earpiece on. They removed that as well, and they were removing my glasses too, because I use recommended glasses. Until I stopped them, and I'm like, the glasses is recommended, so they left it. Then they started asking me questions. The person driving the bus was also a police officer, so he was just driving. And then, you know, the rest were questioning me. They were questioning me, and they asked me a couple of questions, my name, my full name, where I'm coming from, where I live, you know, stuff like that. And with each question, I kept on answering them. And then when they asked to search my phone, they asked for my phone. Not really asked, because like the person that checked it just grabbed it from me. And when he saw that it was locked, he now asked me to unlock it. So that was when I unlocked it. He checked my gallery, my phone gallery, my email, you know. And as he was scrolling through, they were asking me questions like where I live, what I do for a living. And I told them, okay, I'm a student, and I was coming from my aunt's place. So, and they were like, where do you live? I told them where I live, and then they said, okay, is that not too far from here? Like, why do you live that far? And I'm like, I'm a student at UNILAG. You don't expect me to, you know, how do I want to do it? Mm-hmm. Well, they shall. After then they saw, as they were going through my phone, one of the officers in the bus that was, you know, just watching as everything was unfolding. I was literally terrified, because then I literally didn't know what was going to happen next and stuff like that, because we're already driving out of the vicinity I was very familiar with. We're leaving Yaba bus stop, and you know, from there we can literally get to anywhere. So, well, one of the officers spotted another guy outside the van, and the guy just shouted, "Market, market,
market!"
And yes, he called the guy Market, and he was like, "See Market, see Market!" And then the rest of them just turned their faces to the guy that was passing, and then the bus door flung open. I don't even know who opened it or how it opened, but it flung open, and then they grabbed the guy, just really grabbed me. And even the guy even, you know, resisted more than I did. I don't know why, but he might not have been into, you know, anything shady like that.
Yeah.
He carried a laptop bag, which was, I think, was worse, because the bag I carried on didn't have a laptop. I just had my phone on me. So he carried a laptop bag, and I knew there was a laptop in the bag. So they dragged him, he resisted, but after a while they overpowered him, because there were like three guys on him alone. And so they, you know, threw him into the bus and just kicked me out and told me to go. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was how I escaped. I escaped what would be, you know, my very memorable SARS experience.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this experience with us. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, so we've had so many people with experiences like this, and the phone lines are still open. The phone lines are still open. You can still call in and share your experiences. Hello, good evening. Okay, please tell us your name. If you want to remain anonymous, it's fine.
Yeah, my name is Sheung Olawale.
Okay. Hi, Sheung. Please go ahead and share your SARS or police brutality story.
I broke down to the office one morning, drop off the documents, then while coming back, I decided to pass a different route. And I was with my friend in the car, so while driving, some police officers just drove past me to my front, so I had to swerve to the other side of the road and park. Then they dragged me down from the car. One of them used their gun to hit my head, because I was trying to ask them why did they stop me. Mm-hmm. I was being aggressive, kind of, because I didn't understand why they just drove to the front of the car and stopped me. So one used their gun to hit my head, then pushed me into their bus. Then he told my friend, they were thinking the car was mine, whereas the car was for my friend's mom. So he told my friend to enter the car and drive, and we should drive to their station. Then they took me into another bus and also drove down to the station. And the day before then, I watched a video about this same SARS people harassing somebody and eventually shooting the person. So when they were taking us to their station, it looked like one very rural area. And I got scared, kind of. So eventually, we got to, I didn't know that their station was around that place. So we got to their station, then we parked the car. Then I searched the car, thinking we had something in the car. We didn't see anything in the car. They were trying to look for excuses to pin on us so that they were able to extort us. But eventually, they didn't see anything. But there was a lady sitting at the back of the car with us. They didn't see her. The back of the car was tinted. It was only me and my friend they saw in the front. So while we were arguing with them and talking with them, she was videoing everything that was happening from when they picked us up till we got to their station. So I think one of them found out. Then they snatched the phone from her. Then we got very aggressive. We got aggressive with them that why are they harassing the girl and stuff. So they took all of us to the station and locked us up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So later on, like after a while, they now came to talk to us. They were just trying shouting, making noise and stuff. Then they now released me and my friend and left the girl, because our phone was with them. They were telling us that this thing that we are doing could implicate them and they could lose their job. I was not like, okay, you lose your job, you are doing the wrong thing and you are blaming us for it. So later on, they released me and my friend and left the girl, knowing fully well that it's not possible for us to leave the girl here in the station. She's a very good friend. So they left us. Then we couldn't leave her, so we stayed around. Then they left again. They left. Before they released us, we were in the station for like hours. So they released me and left the girl. They now kept the girl amongst some men. Like they put her in another cell.
They put among her in men, a cell.
Yeah, with like seven guys, different guys that have been convicted of different crimes. We were just so worried because of what they did. So, and they left. They now went to bring another set of people those ones had serious issues to settle. Some, they caught one with some bags of weed and stuff. So, those ones had issues to settle. Go. When they came back, we know how the system works in Nigeria. I already knew that, these people want to collect something from us. So, they later came to us eventually and told us, if we want to get our friends out, we must a particular amount of money. We agreed. We said, no problem. If we asked how much, they said we should bring 50,000 naira. And we were not surprised. 50,000 naira for something that you didn't commit any offense, you didn't do anything wrong. So we tried negotiating with them that we are just young guys, we don't really have much. We told them we could raise up 25,000. They argued, they left again, they said they can't collect it. Later on, they came back, we now still begged them that, and this was already in the evening, like 5. Hmm. We begged them, and we didn't want to call the parents of this girl because our sister already knew about it, she was already worried. Our sister was already coming down to the station. So we were just trying to settle it. Later on, they agreed to pay the 25,000. So we wanted to transfer the money. They said no, that they don't want transfer, that we should go to the ATM and withdraw the money and bring the cash to them. So me and my friend just gathered the money between ourselves, then we went to the ATM and we drew the money. We gave them the cash, then they deleted the videos from the lady's phone.
Wow.
They made sure they were clean from the whole thing, then they let us go. So it's just been a really rough time.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And they said they did not want transfer.
Nah,
because
they don't want.
It was traceable.
Yeah, it's possible for us to trace it back to them. So we don't want that. So I think it's one of those things that happened.
I'm really sorry about this. I'm really sorry to hear about this. Thank you very much for sharing your experience with us.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you so much. Have a great time.
Yeah.
Okay, yet another sad story of harassment, extortion, police brutality, SARS especially, SARS brutality. Okay, so the phone lines are still very much open. I'm just going to quickly check our WhatsApp messages. This one says, "My experience was horrible. I would rather not share, please." But if you're discussing way forward, we can have that convo. Thank you so much for this. I understand why you like to share, why you would not like to share. This experiences can be really traumatic, and yes, I think I'm going to have to close the phone lines now because we're running out of time and we have other segments to continue with. We're going to go on a really quick music break now, and when we come back, we'll be talking about how the protests degenerated into violence and the government's golden silence so far.
Yo lo 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 lo. Oh no 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 no. Oh no 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 no. Them bin para o, angry mob them kill ibara o, backing about o, bunny the body them do am like nama o, them conking a go o, wipe am 2x2 in jackpot o, 4-4 kota o, olokba don't show everybody don't cow o, call him mama o, olokba don't show everybody don't jackpot o. This country now a,
yo lo 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 lo.
This country now,
yeah, le, 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 le.
This country now,
yo lo 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 lo.
This country now,
yeah, le, 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 le.
Oh, welcome back. I had to put myself in the shoes of these people and I tried to just relate to their pain and I nearly teared up. I felt so bad. And the fact that nobody's doing anything about it, it's really bad. Indeed, this country now, that's like the only thing I can say. This country now. My own brother has also been a victim of SARS brutality. And the funny thing is that all their stories are like similar. They just see you on the road, they stop you, they shove you into their van, they start asking you unnecessary questions, they ask for your phone, they go through your email. That's exactly what they did to my brother. It was so sad when he told me, because I felt, okay, well, if they want to profile, you know what they say, you look like a yellow boy. Ah, this one look like a criminal. This one looks like a, you know, but my brother doesn't look like a criminal. My brother is so decent looking. You know, very decent looking with his small stature, you know, with his knapsack, you know, just, I don't know. When he told me the experience that day, I nearly cried. I was like, okay, so they checked his bank, of course, they checked his account balance, and there was no money in it because my brother doesn't have any money, and they just let him go. Now imagine if I had sent him some money at that time, you know, just for his upkeep, and they just took all his money. Nigerians who do not even have money, who are struggling to make ends meet, struggling to feed, struggling to survive, are still harassed, extorted by the people who are even supposed to protect us from armed robbery. The whole case is just sickening. Very sickening. Let's just go straight let's continue with the ENTAS protest. So yes, the ENTAS protest degenerated into violence after a group of thugs harassed or caused havoc in the protest in Alausa, Ikeja. That was the first record of violence that I remember. I'm not sure which one happened first, either the one at Abuja or the one in Alausa. Okay, I think the one at Abuja happened the day before. Yes, the one at Abuja happened. A group of thugs just came and started attacking the protesters. That was when it started being violent. And then the next day it was at Alausa. Now the one at Alausa which is quite close to us, Alausa Ikeja in Lagos, happened as, well, of course, people were protesting peacefully, carrying their placards, some with the national flag, you know, just saying NSAS, NSAS, NSAS. And then a group of young boys who came reportedly in a BRT bus. A BRT bus is a government-owned bus in the Lagos State, right? They came in a BRT bus, according to what we heard, and from the videos we saw, it seemed as though they were coming, of course, from the BRT bus. Let's say they came on their own, right? They came and they started attacking these protesters. That's not the two things. There are two things that shocked me in this story. The first thing is that reports say they came in a BRT bus. The second thing is that they were attacking these protesters, and the Nigerian police were just across the scene watching and folding their arms. Now, in Surulere the day before, policemen were reportedly shooting to scare protesters. They were shooting live bullets. They were not shooting rubber bullets or spraying tear gas, live bullets. And then I heard that one person had died. Another person was a police officer. That's the day before. Now in Alausa Ikeja the next day, the Nigerian police stayed just across the scene, watching as thugs attacked these innocent and peaceful protesters in machetes, cutlasses, hoes, the rest of them. Just very crazy, you know, really crazy tools. So that leaves me with a question. Shouldn't the Nigerian police be protecting well-meaning individuals? I mean, I'm just asking. After this, there were also reports of thugs attacking protesters, like attacking their cars. I saw a video of a lot of cars being burnt down, you know, protesters just attacking, basically. Now, we saw another video of thugs attacking the police. I saw a video of thugs beating up a police officer. I really do not know why. Now, thugs hijacked the protest, right? Whoever empowered these thugs, we do not know, but we saw videos of these thugs that had come to hijack the process and the protest, coming into or getting into a vehicle owned by big men. Let me call them political elites. Owned by big men. You know, I saw one personally, a man in suit who was driving the vehicle, a Range Rover or a Land Cruiser or a Prado Jeep, I don't know what make the Jeep was, a black Jeep, calling these thugs who came in cutlasses and machetes and knives and everything, went to, and then they entered these vehicles. I'm trying not to get personal with this, because when I saw it, I was pissed. It then showed that these thugs were empowered by forces beyond our control. It's not just the fact that thugs kept attacking protesters, hijacking the protests. You know, we saw a lot of violence in the country. People hiding under the umbrella of NSAS protesters, claiming to be NSAS protesters, attacking, you know, individuals. And then the real NSAS protesters never engaged in any form of violence from the very first day of this protest. The real NSAS protesters never engaged in any form of violence till date during this protest. Now, it's not just the thugs, it's the fact that the government was silent all through this period. The government was silent, there was nothing coming from the government. I don't know, maybe they thought their silence was golden, but there was nothing coming from the government. The governor of Lagos State, it took him a really long time before he addressed the situation, and then when he addressed the situation, he said that the protesters should not protest, that everything is getting tensed up, that they should not protest for now, you know, and all of that. And then when Lagosians are like, no, you haven't said anything, and the first thing you're saying is that Lagosians should not protest. And then he came and he joined the protest, and he kept on appealing, you know, always appealing. You know how the Lagos state government is always in shock. His heart always goes out. My heart goes out to those who have lost their lives and properties. My heart goes out to those. His heart always goes out to people. And then that's all he did. The federal government still did not say anything on this protest. I don't know if they felt like it was wise not to talk, but then there was nothing from the government. So this made a lot of Nigerians really troubled. There's unrest in the country and the government is not saying anything. So nearly every protest ground, every protest gathering, nearly all protest gatherings were attacked and hijacked by these protesters. But then there was one particular place that had not recorded any form of violence until October 20, 2020. Now this was the Lekki toll gate, the place where people just come, you know, sing songs, hold the national flag, sing the national anthem and protest peacefully until 20th of October 2020. I'm going to go on a very quick music break, and when I come back, I'll be letting you know what happened on October 20, 2020.
Fighting over Gemini and Pisces. Every corner it's war and crisis. Boko Haram, Al-Qaeda and ISIS. How come the poor people are the nicest? Africa blessed with a lot of beautiful history, but these people make us feel like everything's a mystery. They make us live lives in a jittery. We pray to God Father to give us victory. Take a look around the city now. No love, what a pity now. 21 look like 50 now. Hatred making, you know. Back then she was a cutie now. You no longer do your duty now. You follow girls with big booty now. All you do is booting and looting now. So
heal the world, spread love and heal the world. Heal the world, let love heal the world. Heal the world, spread love and heal the world. Heal the world, let love heal the world.
Welcome back. So I'm trying to catch my breath. I'm also trying to be as composed as possible. I'm trying not to break down in tears. On October 20, 2020, the Nigerian Armed Forces opened fire on peaceful protesters at the Lekki toll gate. Okay, yeah, deep breath. We saw all the events unfold live on Instagram. Earlier that day, there were reports that the CCTV camera, the CCTV cameras at the Lekki toll gate were taken down. I saw the reports on Twitter. You know, I cannot remember the person who tweeted it, but the person was like, they have removed the CCTV cameras. Please, let's be at alert. Well, it got dark, and then armed forces, Nigerian armed forces, dressed in the army camouflage, approached these peaceful protesters at the Lekki toll gate who have done nothing but sing the national anthem, wave their flags, and just chant NSARS. Nothing. There was no form of violence there. They approached these well-meaning individuals and opened fire on them. We saw everything unfold on DigiSwitch, DJ Switch is the Nigerian DJ, a female DJ in Nigeria. We saw everything unfold on her Instagram live. We saw her trying to pull out a bullet from a man's lap. We saw everything unfold. I couldn't sleep that night. I'm very certain that a lot of Nigerians couldn't sleep as well. It was a sad day. You can check it on Twitter. It's use the hashtag Lekki Massacre. Use the hashtag. Well, there are a lot of hashtags basically, but Lekki Massacre, Lekki Tollgate, and you see everything that happened. There was a particular man who was shot holding the Nigerian flag. He was shot holding the Nigerian flag. These people were seated on the floor waving their flags, and Nigerian soldiers shot them. This is very sad. I'm sorry. I do not know if there were guns, but what I saw in that video were armored tanks. The way you shoot, if you're someone who watches all this kind of movies, like these war related movies, basically Rise and Fall of Idi Amin, you know, and the rest of them, it was an open fire. They were shooting with ammo tanks, not the regular guns. With ammo tanks. We saw these things happen. Now, the fact that the government is denying it, the Lagos State government said, Lagos State Governor rather, said the following day that there were no casualties, whereas these people were being killed, calling for help. Now, ambulances and other medical professionals rushed to the scene to help as many people as possible. But we saw also a video of them being, you know, shot out. Nigerian soldiers did not allow them to go in to help people. It was just so sad, really. I'm trying as much as I can not to, you know, go really sentimental on this, but that was a Black Tuesday. It's a day no Nigerian youth should ever forget. It was a Lekki massacre. The president of Nigeria gave a 12-minute address to the nation on what day was that? That doesn't even matter. But the president of Nigeria gave an address and did not mention anything at all on the Lekki massacre. Now, there are also so many people saying that it was fake news, that nothing happened at Lekki, that it was photoshopped, that the video was doctored. And I'm asking, how do they doctor? How do they edit a live video? Is it that people do not understand what it means for someone to transmit live? Or is it because we've been hearing live videos, the president will be addressing in a live video for, you know, there was one time during the coronavirus period, there was a supposedly live video which was pre-recorded, of course. Maybe that's what Nigerians think live video is. They do not know what it means to go on live on Instagram. I feel like it's an insult to the intelligence of Nigerians. I also feel like it's a very unfair thing, especially to those who lost their lives trying to speak up for a better country. So we're just saying we don't want to be brutalized by the police anymore. We don't want SARS brutality. We don't want to be killed by SARS anymore. A lot of people have been killed by SARS. The most shocking story is that of Chijoke Iloanya. I will never forget that story. Whose father was made to swim in a river of dead bodies just to try and locate his son. I'm trying not to go into that, but you can read of the stories of people who have died from SARS brutality. And Nigerians just came out to say, look, we don't want to die anymore. We don't want SARS officials to shoot us anymore. And they still got shot and killed for speaking up. It is really depressing. It is very depressing. I can imagine what DJ Switch is going through right now. Watching people die. When it's not a movie. This is happening real life. I can imagine what she's going through. I can imagine the pain. I can imagine the trauma. I can imagine the nightmares. And I thank God for social media. I thank God for mobile phones. I thank God for smartphones, because if not for these smartphones, we probably would have been made to believe nothing happened at Lekki Toll Gate, because there were reports that the dead bodies were being taken into vans by these soldiers. It was a really traumatic experience for so many Nigerian youths who watched the video. It was also a very traumatic experience for those who were there. DJ Switch, we're going to go on a very quick music break, and when we come back, we'll be moving forward, talking about what to do next, what we can do next, and we'll be calling this podcast a wrap. Welcome back. I don't know which one hurts me more, the fact that the government is denying all of this, the fact that people say that the videos were doctored, the images were photoshopped. I don't know if it's possible to edit a live Instagram video, unless of course these people don't know what live means. But then I'm not surprised, because we've had a lot of live pre-recorded messages from the President of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. And yeah, how would they think we edit a live Instagram video? I don't know. Whether that one hurts me, or the Lekki massacre itself, or the fact that we haven't gotten justice several hours after the Lekki massacre, no one has been brought to book. We haven't gotten any answers, no investigation, unless of course the one that has been done and carried out by our international community. I'm very grateful for them because they have joined Nigerians in the fight for justice, and honestly that's like the only thing giving me hope. I hope Nigerians can spring up from this as fast as possible. So yes, what's next with the NSAS protest? Well, I suggest that Nigerians continue to protest online. No physical protests for now. All protests should be done online, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. I also suggest that we continue to be united, because apparently there have been so many attempts to divide our cause, right? And the attempts have failed. Now what they're trying to do now is to bring in tribalism, to bring in ethnic groups, to say, oh, the Igbos are doing this, the Fulanis are doing this. I'm hearing of an intertribal war in Fagba, the Ijaw area of Lagos State, between the Fulanis that reside there and the Yorubas. And I strongly condemn this, because it's just a tactic that's being used to divide the youths. The youths are united. Our voices are strong. I don't know how we did it, but the Nigerian youths were able to shake the nation. Yes, our voices were heard loud and clear. They may ignore it, but they heard, right? And then we cannot at this point afford to be divided. We have to stand strong. Our voices are loud together. We have to keep being united. We have to come as one voice, one cause. I strongly condemn every form of thuggery, hooliganism, vandalization of properties. I still don't know why. I don't know the premise behind it. I don't know what these people must have been told to make them go after banks and shopping malls, you know, businesses that our brothers and sisters have labored for years. I just really hope that the labor of our fallen heroes will not be in vain. I hope that justice is served in due time. It might take a while, but we'll get there. As long as we're united, as long as we're one, as long as we do not deviate, we do not digress from our plan. And this is the time for Nigerian youths to... We're the jet age, really. We're the jet age. We cannot be overpowered in this age, because we have what they did not have. We have technology and we know how to use it. So we have to come together. We have to be more strategic with all of our plans. The protests cannot die. The protests cannot stop. The protests have to continue until there is an end to all forms of police brutality, from SARS, from SWAT, from whatever it is they call it, from FSARS, whatever. The protests have to continue until there is an end to police brutality, until there is an end to SARS. I lend my voice, I join my voice with that of my brothers and sisters to end SARS, end police brutality, end bad governance in Nigeria. This has been my longest podcast. I had to take my time to document everything, right, to ensure that we get what we want finally. Nigeria will rise again. Nigerian youths are the best. Nigerian youths are the most creative. Nigerian youths are the most industrious. We are not lazy. We would come back and we'll get everything we want. Nigeria is a blessed country. We would definitely heal from all the pain that this past 2 weeks have brought. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed it, do well to like, to share, to comment, however way you can support. Your support is welcome. This is like a whole lot of emotions going on in my head right now. My heart goes out to everyone who has lost a loved one during the course of this process, from the very first day till now. Either from strep bullets, from surgery, from whatever, really. My heart goes out to them, my condolences. And I can assure you that no one's death is going to be in vain, like I said earlier. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely, lovely, lovely day ahead. Bye.